Just got a tweet that just came across my timeline, which is Buffalo Bills PR. 1 minute ago, it's the Wednesday injury report. You got the day off for rest.
Yeah, I'm an old man in a young man's league, so they do a good job of taking care of me.
Who does that? Like, I feel like it would be almost insulting if they were like, hey, Lorenzo, just rest up today. But it would be way awesome if you got to go to them and be like, I'd like some rest today. And they're like, yeah, you're a vet. You've been a Pro Bowler. You can take it off.
Yeah. But we have a great sports science department here, so they monitor all our reps and how much we run every day, and then obviously factor in our age and how long we've been in the league, and they come up with a plan for everybody, you know. So I'm not the only guy that gets time off, but today was my opportunity to do it.
Okay, so let me get all age-related questions out of the way. I was thinking about this today because I was looking at, you know, you had a tweet about Frank Gore, and I think you said you love the way that he approaches the game. And, man, like, I've been a Frank Gore fan for a long time, and I'm fascinated by Gore because he started out his career, and the number one question when he came out of college was, like, longevity. Is he going to hold up? Is he going to be durable after the injuries that he incurred? And now the guy's 36 years old, and he's still playing, and he's still effective. And you're the same age. And I want to know is, do you think Frank Gore gets too much hype as a running back, and linebackers like yourself who at 36 are still playing don't get enough credit? Like, what's harder to do, be a running back at 36 or a linebacker?
A running back, by far. And the main reason is because they take a load of carries where every time they touch the rock, that's not necessarily the case for me. You know, I don't necessarily hit somebody every single play, but I know if you carry the ball, especially what Frank was doing, and he was a premier back, and he was carrying the ball 20, maybe 30 times a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a toll on you over a 16-game schedule.
Yeah, it is. Hey, don't sell yourself short, though, too, because what you're doing is pretty impressive. Hey, what your team...
No, we're impressed by you. Yeah, we say you over Gore.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's what we say. Yeah, I mean, if Frank Gore comes on with us, don't listen to that interview.
Yeah, we're going to be like, you're not so hot, Frank.
Yeah, you guys have been, once again, great defensively this season. Big part of your 2-0 start. You guys were great last year. I mean, do you guys feel better defensively this year?
Yeah, we're working, I think, on the same pace that we want to be in. I mean, I think the biggest thing this year is that we're more resilient. We're more calm on the sidelines. I think a lot of that has to do with Tremaine Edmonds being his second year and as the leader of our defense and really getting guys in place and making the calls, because he has a better understanding of what's going around him, has a whole year of experience under his belt. I think guys just have a natural, as a defense, are just more calm when things hit the fan. And, like, the first week we had four turnovers of our offense, guys stayed calm. Last week the Giants came down and pretty much sliced and diced us. That first drive, guys stayed calm. And a lot of that's accredited to Tremaine and his comments on the sideline, getting guys adjusted. And then, obviously, over the totality of the game, we're able to come out there and make adjustments and play fast and physical and finish them off the right way.
Yeah, you guys came up with a couple of great defensive performances. For you, in week one against the Jets, you did have a QB hit against Sam Darnold. It's the only game he's played so far this year. He comes down with mono. At any point, like when you found out he had mono, were you like, how contagious is that? I came in very close contact with that man.
I know. I got a back on him. So it's kind of crazy that he did have mono. So hopefully he got that after the game that night and didn't have it when I was playing against him.
Yeah.
I think you'd know by now.
Yeah, and you probably would have thought about it a little bit more if one of you guys was laying on top of him after a sack and he's just going like, why does he keep doing that? What's that all about? Talking to Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker. And, you know, you talk about Tremaine Edwards and taking that step forward, but I'm curious, for a guy like you, how has your role as a leader on that defense evolved over the last few years?
I think just the biggest thing for me is I've become, obviously, a guy that's been here for 4 years now, so more of a mainstay. So, you know, obviously, when I first got here, it was Kyle Williams up to even last year, just being more doing it in partnership, but really deferring to him because he had been here for so long. But since his departure, I think there's more eyes on me in a sense because we don't have him, and then Frank is new. And I've just been more of the vocal guy. I've had to speak up more this year in different ways that I normally wouldn't just because that was kind of Kyle's role. So I've kind of had to grow a little bit this year as far as just how vocal I am in front of the team as totality. I'm more of a one-off guy, like, you know, one-on-one, let me talk to you, when Kyle was more of like, in front of the whole team, giving speeches and really getting guys fired up to play or motivating us for that week so that we can go out and play well.
Well, it seemed like you were getting guys fired up in your edition of Mic'd Up that you had this last week.
Yep.
And I've never been able to ask anybody this before, but what is it like being mic'd up? Do you actually forget it's there? Like, does it come in ebbs and flows?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do, eh? So it just it actually is pretty organic?
Yeah, everything is organic. The only time that you're aware of it is like warm up. They're like sitting right in your face.
Yeah.
So you kind of like, I'm mic'd up right now, and you normally don't even say too much warm ups anyway because the camera is in your face. But once you get out there flying around, hitting folks, you've gotten hit maybe a couple of times too, you forget all about that camera and what's there, and you're just worried about winning. And at the end of the day, normally something cool kind of comes out. And, but I love being mic'd up. Every time I've mic'd up, we've won, I think, and I've had a pretty good game, and so I enjoy it.
Yeah, well, obviously you should be asking for it more often, but I want
I must do believe me.
Yeah, I imagine it's also comforting to know that, like, yeah, you get final cut on that thing. I wonder if there's a few things that were left on the cutting room floor that you said during that game that, yeah, maybe some profanities that didn't get released into the public domain.
Right, of course. Yeah, some things I wouldn't want my kids or my wife hearing that I'm saying on the sidelines. And sometimes you have funny conversations with guys during the game, and fans may say, why are they talking about that? You know, so, but they do a good job as far as editing stuff and making sure, you know, nothing too crazy gets out.
Man, I've the only thing I can equate this to personally is that I've been on a Jumbotron before. Like, I went to a hockey game one year in an arena
it's
in Ottawa. No, hold on.
Okay.
I went to a hockey game once, and I was the only fan wearing a jersey of the team that was playing, and it was, like, a small game. And so, like, every time this team scored, they kept throwing me up on the Jumbotron. And for, like, 10 seconds, you know how to act. Like, you're like, woo, number one. You know, you
do
that
move.
Right. But then when they keep the camera in your face for longer than, like, 15 seconds, you're like, I don't have anything else here. Like, I don't have anything else for you. So I just imagine you in warm-ups.
Fan away.
Exactly. They're just holding the camera in front of you, and they're like, all right, you warming up. Like, what do you got to say? And you're like, nothing. Just I'm listening to my music.
Right, yes. So that's when it's real awkward, where I feel like I got to say something to somebody. So I'll try to conjure up a conversation with, like, Jerry, because he's always good for a good conversation. But, it's weird when they sit there for a long time in your face and warm-ups.
Well, yeah, and you got to wonder if the teammates are, like, trying to stay away from you because they do know you're mic'd up and they're a little bit afraid, right? You get some of that?
You know what? I don't, you know, I'm one of the guys they don't like because I don't tell you when I'm mic'd up.
I want
everything you say to me to be real.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Yeah, you're like, you go out last night? You're like a spy. You're like, why are you walking around? What'd you do? What'd you get up to this last weekend?
Right,
I saw your Instagram post. Looked like you were out a little late.
Talking to Lorenzo Alexander, Buffalo Bills linebacker. Yeah, the defense has been a constant last couple of years. We've seen seemingly some progression from Josh Allen. I know he had the turnovers week one, but bounced back from that. No turnovers week two. What have you seen difference-wise from your quarterback?
I think he just has a lot of confidence this year. I mean, that's a huge thing in this league, especially playing the position he plays. Is being able to command the team, having that confidence and swag to go out and play through. You have a game where the offense has four turnovers, because sometimes that can kind of ruin you as a player, because now you're always second-guessing everything you do. But he plays with great confidence, has a great command of this offense, and guys have gravitated towards him. And then as far as his skill set, you know, touching the ball, having a better understanding of where to place the ball, it's been pretty cool to watch his growth over his last year or so.
Yeah, he's proven a lot of people wrong so far. 2-0 start, not too shabby. Hey, you're an Oakland guy, Lorenzo, and you got to play there for a year, and we know this is the last season they're going to play in Oakland before moving to Las Vegas, and we've seen how passionate those fans are still, even though they know they're losing that organization. You feel like what are your feelings about that change in venue and your feelings for the fans there?
Well, obviously, because they're so passionate, I mean, it's hard to see. A lot of my family members, you know, are Raider fans, and so I know they hate seeing them go. A lot of them, make arrangements, the ones that can, to drive down to Vegas. I know we used to always get a ton of people coming up from L.A., and so I know they'll travel wherever that team goes because Vegas is still fairly close. But it's sad to see that the city and obviously the NFL couldn't come to some type of agreement to get something done to keep it there, because I think it is a special place to play. And has really become a foundational piece for the NFL, the Oakland Raiders, and what it's meant historically to the league.
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine what it's going to be like without having the Oakland Raiders and, yeah, the black hole. And I think it is like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people who make the trip. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that stay with the team. But to me, it's going to feel very faux, like the faux black hole that they're going to try to create in Vegas. It's just going to feel weird and tacky, right? Like, it's just all of a sudden people are going to be coming in from out of town with the, like, Vegas vouchers and like, I'm also part of the black hole. And you're like, nah, I don't think it's going to be as intimidating. Let's just say that. Like, I don't think it's going to be even close, actually. Hey, man, before we let you go, tell us about the Aces Foundation.
Just doing a lot of great things here in the Buffalo community. Originally, as you mentioned, being from Oakland, started there, just trying to provide resources to young kids from low-income areas. That's how I grew up. And so now I have the platform, the NFL, just trying to pay it forward. And then partnering with various organizations. So October 19th, before we play Miami, it's the Crucial Catch Weekend where we raise awareness for cancer awareness. And we're actually doing a cornhole tournament to raise money for ovarian cancer. We partnered with Colleen's Dream, who's done a great job raising money for ovarian cancer research, because it's one of the few diseases that we don't have a detection for, an early detection system. So we have a lot of our wives and, daughters and that are getting this disease, and they don't find it until it's like stage 3 or stage 4, and it's way too late. So just trying to come up with an early testing application with that, and that's what the money will be going to and be donating it right here locally in Western New York.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is.
Again,
great.
If people want to learn more about it, you just go to lorenzoalexander.org, and it's a really great website. It's very, very all-encompassing. It's great work, man. Thanks for joining our show today.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your rest day.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah. Yeah, they prescribe you some Netflix or something. Yeah. All right, see you, Lorenzo.
Yeah. Later.